Do we have any other announcements? Do we have any praise reports? Yeah. Do we have any prayer requests? All right. Well, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over this job interview. And we ask you for your favor, which you've already bestowed upon us, but we ask that you just let your favor shine in this situation with this prospective employer, that our friend here cannot get a job, but get a position. A position of influence with a pay increment before she even gets started, a raise before she gets started. That's possible. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just in case you're curious, it's never too bad that you can't ask for a raise. Me and my friend, we got brought into the interrogation room at the place I worked at. I used to be a truck driver, and sometimes we'd get a little wild. Somebody turned us in, so my boss called me into the office, and the big boss was there, and he had an inspirational message for us. If you ever been in the oil field, you know what I'm talking about. So he went through all of this stuff and told us how we were going to be seeing new places and people if we didn't calm down. So at the end, he said, okay, you can go now. Yeah. So my buddy, he hit the door, didn't look back. I got to the door and I turned around and I said, can I have a raise? And he said, yes. And I said, okay. So I went back to the door, turned around, blew him a kiss, and went out the door. My boss came running out in the yard, and he said, what was that? You got to stop doing that stuff. You're going to give him a heart attack one of these days. But I got my raise. You're in this world. You're not of this world. You belong to a different kingdom, and you have the favor of God on your life. Amen? Doesn't matter what the devil may say about you. Doesn't matter what anybody else might say about you. You are blessed and highly favored. Amen? Amen. Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion, please? Oh, no. They're getting antsy. That one jumped out of her chair when I said communion. She was ready. I better get one of those. In case you haven't noticed, we do things a little differently around here. But whatever we do it on purpose. And the communion is not just a ritual that we go through. This is something that we release our faith in so that we can receive the full benefits of what Jesus did for us. See, God gave us this communion. This can be something that we take monthly. We can take it weekly. We can take it daily. You can even take it 3 times a day. There's people that take medicine 3 times a day. And that's man's idea. This is God's idea. We can take it as often as you will. That's what Jesus says. Take this as often as you will. As often as you want it. But we got to discern the body of Christ when we do this. And the way we discern the body of Christ is by looking at this bread, identifying the body of Jesus in this, and what he did for us in his passion and on his cross. If you look at this bread, you'll notice, see, it's made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And Jesus' body was certainly without sin. He never once made a mistake. Also, this bread has been beaten flat. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. He took it all for us. You know, sometimes people have some wounds deep inside of them. Jesus took that beating for those deep wounds that you have on the inside of you. You can turn that over to Him and heal Him. You can let Him heal you. Amen. Also, you notice that there's stripes in this bread. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. And Jesus' body was not only pierced when He was on the cross, but wherever He shed His blood, He got redemption for us in some area. And this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. That judgment that was meant for us, Jesus took it all and redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. His body was certainly broken for us. And we're taking this for our healing and our health. We praise You for it in Jesus' name. Some people say that Jesus spilled His blood, and that is not true. To spill something is by accident. Jesus shed His blood. It was on purpose, and it was for our redemption. It was for our freedom. He shed His blood. It was a messy sacrifice. His blood protects us. It's by His blood that our sins are washed away. And it's by His blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we can go boldly into the throne room of grace because of the shed blood of Jesus. And we can receive mercy and grace in a time of need. Amen? We can go right into God's presence as if nothing happened. Because as far as He's concerned, nothing happened. Because of the blood of Jesus washed it away. We thank You for this. Also, one of the, for the new people here, one of the other things that we do that might be out of the ordinary is we don't pass an offering plate around in this church. We have a bucket, a tithe bucket back here up against in the little closet back there. And you can go in and put your tithes and offerings in that bucket. It's a personal thing between you and God. And I don't ever want anybody to think that they're cornered into putting something in the plate. And I don't want anybody to think that we're watching them. I don't want anybody to ever fall into condemnation because maybe they think their offering isn't big enough. It's between you and God. Amen. So that's, you worship Him. That's your own private worship between you and Him. It's back there for you. Okay, girls, you can make the great escape. You don't have to put up with me all the whole day long. Oh, praise God. Oh, we thank You in the name of Jesus for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that You have given unto us. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide Your word of truth. Father, we thank You that when we open up Your word, because of the help You've given us and the Holy Spirit, we're going to get a revelation of Your word out of this, and it's going to be a life-changing word. It's going to be something that takes root in our hearts, and we'll be able to operate in Your kingdom the way You designed us to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been studying for a while. Matter of fact, this is our 15th Sunday Remember, we found out that there was, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And we found out there are 16 things that actually were finished when Jesus said, "It is finished." Don't feel bad if we're at the end of this study. You can get on our church website and you can go back, because Pete logs all of the sermons. He puts them all on there. It's free. You can go back there, and I promise you, you won't be chiseled for money. You can just go back there, and you can go back in the history, go back 15 Sundays and start at the first thing and go all the way through. I'm not long-winded, so it won't take you very long to get through them. But you'll get some really good revelation of what Jesus did for you on that cross. See, that's the gospel. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If it doesn't lead to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's not the gospel. Amen? I don't care what traditions that have been passed down, if it doesn't ultimately lead to Jesus and Him crucified, stop. It's not the gospel. So, our number 15 thing that we have is a way for the full endowment of power and the full anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, in the Old Testament, very few people had access to the Holy Spirit. And in fact, when they got anointed, you know, a prophet would come and anoint a king or anoint another prophet. But whenever somebody needed to be anointed, this prophet would take this horn of oil and he'd go up there and he'd pour this horn of oil on the top of somebody's head and it'd come down on them. And that was the anointing. But see, that was a fading glory. When Jesus came here, and he got baptized in water, the Spirit fell upon him as a dove. The Holy Spirit's not a dove. You got that? He's not a bird. He came down from heaven. He came down from heaven as a dove. But at that point in time, Jesus was the one that had access to the Holy Spirit. Then he would let some people have some part of it, until Jesus died on the cross and went to heaven and made the way. He couldn't send the Holy Spirit here. Here's a cool thing. Jesus can only be one place at a time. Did you notice that about him? He can only be one place at a time. But when he sent the Holy Spirit was everywhere, all the time. He's everywhere. So somebody can get born again. It doesn't matter what far reaches of the world these people are in, they can get born again because the Holy Spirit is right there. Amen? Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And a lot of people are very familiar with this verse, but they kind of cut short and they don't get the full kick out of this, what he's talking about here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law." You realize in the Old Testament, people had to live under the law, and if they broke the law, there was a curse involved with breaking that law. There was a penalty, and it was death. See, Jesus never broke the law. He never sinned. That's why it was illegal for Satan to put him on the cross and kill him. Amen? Well, guess what? He was made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ." that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That includes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not only financial blessings and physical blessings and healings and all that, but it includes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he went to his grave, and 3 days later, he came back to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The very same Holy Spirit that you have contact with is the very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life. And we got people wanting a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Why do you want an old wore out anointing when you can get the Holy Spirit? Amen. You get the one that raised Jesus back to life. Amen. Well, that's what you fell heir to. All blessings, including the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come through redemption and atonement. How could God give to fallen, rebellious man on any other basis? You're not going to earn this. You can't. You can't earn salvation. Is there anything that you could do? I know there are some talented people in here. But is there anything that you could do that could possibly be more valuable than the blood of Jesus? Okay? Then you're just going to have to sit there and receive what he's freely given you. Amen? You can't earn it. You can only receive it. That's good news. It's really good news. Because the people that were trying to earn something were under the law. And it just didn't work for them. They didn't. Here's a curious thing. I was just studying this morning, but we're going to do this in a future study when we get done with this, when we get done with this one. But there was a thing called the Year of Jubilee. And it was designed where if everybody in the country behaved and things went the way God had designed it to be, and the priest, the church was in order, the people were in order, and everything was going well, on the year of Jubilee, which was every 50 years, then everybody that had debt, the debts would be wiped out, the slaves would be set free, people that lost land and houses, that would be given back, it would be restored to them, all this stuff would be fixed. You know, Israel never once celebrated a year of Jubilee. Why? Because it's not possible for man to keep the law. Jesus is the only one that could. And that's why we got redeemed. When we get born again, we get redeemed from that curse. Amen? Now, let's go to John chapter 7, verse 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You know, when you get born again, the Spirit moves in there. He moves into your spirit. The Holy Spirit moves into your spirit. And he doesn't live in a condo. See, he's not upstairs and the devil downstairs. It's not the way it works. The Holy Spirit comes in there. Jesus completely cleans your spirit out. Now, the Holy Spirit's in there. But it has to come up out of there. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit comes up on you. That anointing comes up on you. And then, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's speaking in tongues. That's praying in tongues. You know, we don't know everything. Did you know that? I don't look so surprised. I actually had a preacher say one time, said, "I do know everything." Well, he said it in church. I said, "Really? You're pretty cool, but you ain't that cool." But here's the thing. When we pray in tongues, not only does it edify us, but also it makes perfect prayers to your Heavenly Father. See, the Holy Spirit prays through you, and that prayer goes up to Jesus, your high priest. He presents that prayer to the Father, and it's perfect. You know, I'll pray the perfect prayer every time. Stop praying in English. Start praying in tongues. You get a heavenly language when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can pray in tongues, and you may not know what you're praying about. You know, you can ask for understanding. I had a lot of conversations with God in tongues before we came down here. And He was giving me understanding about what was going to happen here. And He kept talking about a party. I said, "Okay, well, we'll have a party when we get here. Lots of churches have parties." And He said, "No, we're going to invite the whole town." I said, "Well, that's cool. I guess we can go shoot some pigs and get some deer or something. Maybe somebody will show up with some food to feed all these people." And I just kept praying and praying and praying in tongues. I couldn't figure none of this out praying in English. So I had to pray in tongues. And He kept telling me these little things step by step. So I kept not worrying about it. I come down here and I said, "We're going to have a big party." Everybody said, "Really?" "Oh, the party sounds good." "Well, we're going to invite the whole town, whoever wants to come." So I'm still thinking, I said, I'll supply the meat. I'm thinking, man, what if a whole bunch of people show up? How am I going to supply all this meat? Well, I had a little pen where I kept my stud and a little barn there. And this little pen, there was a guy in the pasture next to there that had all these goats. And one day I'm sitting there by the pen talking to my horse, praying in tongues. Because at that time, I'm pretty sure he was the only one that didn't think I looked like a fool. I looked all the way down at the end of this pasture, and like 40 head of goats crawled through the fence over there. And they marched right straight up there, crawled under the gate over there, come walking right between me and the gate, crawled under the gate into my pen where the stud was. And they just... all 40 head of these nanny goats walked right in there. So I'm standing there and thought, well, that's strange. So then this little guy that owned them come up there and said, "You want to buy some goats?" I said, "I don't know. I mean, how much you want for them?" He told me the price. I said, "Well, I don't know nothing about no goats. Let me go ask somebody." So I went and told somebody the price, and they said, "Yeah, you better buy those." So I said, "Okay." So I went back. I told that guy, I said, "I'm going to buy them." I said, "I don't have any money, but I'm going to buy them." I said, "I got to go to Wyoming. When I get back from Wyoming, I'll pay you for them." He said, "That sounds fine." So we go to Wyoming. By the time we get back, half of them had kids. And then, I mean, by the end of that week, we had 40 nannies that had, probably between them, they had 60, 70 kids. 60 kids, 50 kids. I mean, my little herd tripled before I even got them paid for. God said, there's your meat. Okay. So then we're going to have a cabrito cook-off. We had a good time too, didn't we? We had a lot of people. And God paid for that meat all the way through. Amen? I still got remnants of them goats. I'm not going to let them go. See, you can pray in an unknown tongue, and he can give you guidance through that. Sometimes you can pray in an unknown tongue, and it'll be a prayer that's meant for somebody all the way around the world. And they get the answer to what they needed at just the right time. Amen? Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. This is Jesus talking. It's in red. This is Jesus himself. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." See, one of the things that Jesus asked us to do is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Go out there, pray for the sick, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, amen, and see them recover. Now, he would not do that unless he was going to equip you. One of the big challenges I hear, I've talked to several different missionaries, you know, people that have been out on the mission field, go out on these adventures and stuff, and they come back and they say, it is so hard out there. And I started talking to him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If the mission field and the ministry is so hard, then you need to get it off of your shoulders and put it on him where it belongs. And you need to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that he can strengthen you. And you can do this by his Spirit and not by your might. Amen? Let him do the doing. You just partake him. If it's really hard, and a burden, you're not relying on God. Now, there's times I'll be facing challenges in the mission field, and the mission field is everywhere we go. But it's not hard for me, because I know it's him. Amen? I let him do the doing. He said, you do the asking, and I'll do the doing. Amen? Let's go to Acts chapter 1. You know, verse 4 says, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, are you starting to see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to equip you to go out there and minister to other people? It's not so you can swing from the fans and roll around on the floor and be crazy. That's got to stop. There's some people that do that stuff. But that's not what it's about. It's about the endowment of power so that you could go out into the community and meet the needs of the lost people out there. Amen? I didn't know much. I knew I was born again. But I was reading something that said I needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's just crazy sometimes how things work. But I was right in front of the post office. And there was a lady that lived right across the street from the post office. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I don't know, but I think I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit." She said, "You do." She grabbed my hand. She said, and she called three or four of her church sisters, said, "Get over here." And they all went over there at her house and said, and they grabbed my hands and they said, "Ever since I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I've been chasing the devil. I ain't stopping." I thought, "Holy crud, lady, I don't want no more to do with that devil." And they just started speaking in tongues. And I thought, "Well, what did I do to myself this time?" And I got out of there. I said, "Man, them ladies are nuts." And it took me 6 years to entertain the thought of coming in contact with the Holy Spirit again. This is why it's so important for proper teaching. Not just flying off on the handle and being a lunatic, but to teach from the Bible and show people that this is an expression of God's love to you. Amen? Not just for you, but to endue you with power so that you can go out there and meet the needs of a lost and dying world out there. Amen? Now, let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. There we hear that word again. The promise of the Father. He promised to give you the Holy Spirit. You do receive the Holy Spirit when you get born again. But it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. He wants the Holy Spirit to come upon you and endue you with this power so that wherever you are, you can be equipped to preach the gospel to somebody. You can be equipped to witness to somebody, to set them free. Now, be honest. I want you to raise your hand if you know anybody who's in trouble. You guys don't know anybody that's in trouble? You don't know anybody who doesn't have one foot in the grave? You don't know anybody who is on a highway to hell? You don't know anybody who drinks every single day and they won't stop? You don't know anybody who beats their wife on a regular occasion? You don't know anybody who's not born again? Amen? Go on now. Get them hands up in the air. He endued you with power so that you can go meet their needs of salvation. Amen? Amen? All right. We all know somebody who needs God's help. We all know somebody who needs to know that God loves them. We all know somebody that needs to be introduced to Jesus. Amen. He equips you. And this is one of the things he equips you with, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, I want you to read something. Look at Luke chapter 4. Verse 18. The scribes, the religious mafia of the day, they were all gathered up, and Jesus was in front of them, and he said, "Hand me a scroll, and we'll preach to you." And this is what he opened up to. It is found in the book of Isaiah. Verse 18, Jesus is Jesus speaking. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get equipped to go minister to broken people. Amen? You notice we do most of our praying for people that don't go to church. Just a curiosity thing with me. We do pray for people that go to church, but most of our praying seems to be for people that aren't in here on a regular basis. Now, some people will say, well, that's Jesus. Certainly was. You got to understand that Jesus on this earth was all man. He was flesh and blood. He's still flesh and bone. He has no blood left in him, but he's flesh and bone. And on this earth, he was a man who faced the same temptations and challenges that you and I face every single day. He faced them, and he never failed. And then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he went out into the ministry field, and he started doing miracles. Jesus was absolutely righteous on this earth. He was in right standing with God. He never made a mistake. Now, when you get born again, you get made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It means you get made a righteous man. Now, because of that, you go and you can go, you can do it however you want. You can go get water baptized and then get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or you can go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then go get water baptized. Or you can get them both at the same time. My friend did. He went under the water and he come up speaking in tongues. However, whatever you want to believe. You know, there's some Baptist boys running around that did that. And they decided they better stop. They didn't want to get caught speaking in tongues. But what happened? When they went to get in that water, they were believing God for everything they could get. They wanted all of his spirit, all of his life they could get. They went under the water and they came up. They got the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time. And then they thought, well, they might kick me out of church if they catch me talking like this. They might. But that's okay. We'll find another one. Amen? Or better yet, stand up to them and say, no, I'm still part of this body. And I'm going to spread this. This is going to happen. Do you know that's going to happen one of these days? We're all going to be brought into the unity of the faith. No matter what denomination you are, we're going to get brought together in the unity of the faith. And we're looking at Jesus and we're going to find out we didn't know all that much. Amen. Now go to John chapter 14 and we'll finish with this verse. You ever wonder how come I keep these sermons at 30 minutes, somewhere in there? I spend a lot of time in Word of Faith circles, and I sit there for 2 hours sometimes. And that's okay. That's okay. But I'm a napper. And I'd have a hard time falling asleep. And I knew I wasn't retaining what I heard. I'd circle as much as I could. But here's the thing. You can keep an adult's attention for about 30 minutes. It's okay. That's if they're not napping or thinking about baseball. But if you take it in spurts, if you take it in spurts and go back and listen to it and go through it a little bit, take it in spurts, you have more of a chance at getting that in there and retaining it and making a part of your life than if we go on and on and on and on and on, you know. I could preach from the woman's Bible, and we could just go on and on and on and on. You know, that's the Amplified Bible. We could be in here for an hour, 2 hours. I'm going to do that to you. Because I know from personal experience that a revelation of a little bit will take you farther than just having a little bit of knowledge of a whole bunch of stuff. Amen? John chapter 14, verse 12. This settled a lot of things for me. Because I was curious. I thought, man, it seems to me, since God is not a respecter of persons, and if Peter could do something, I should be able to do something. If Paul could do something, I should be able to do something. I'd ask a pastor, and they said, no, that was under special occasions. And that was for special anointed people. And that was for apostles. And that was for this. And the excuses for the doubt and unbelief were a mile long. But I found out one thing. When you're in a cave and you don't have an abundance of friends and you don't have any money and you don't have any food, you pick up your Bible and you read that thing. You read it like your life depends on it. Because what you do in a cave is going to determine the course of your life. You can either give up and play possum, or you can get in that Bible and you can fight your way out of that cave. And this is what I found out. John 14, verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you. This is Jesus talking again. This is in red. Verily, verily, to me, is the same as when you're in the oil field. Shut up and pay attention. See, I know I still have my oil field voice. Because sometimes I'd deal with people that were in some life and death situation. I'd have to tell them to shut up and pay attention. You listen up. Verily, verily. Verily, verily. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That clears it up right there. Jesus is above all pastors. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in his name, that's what he will do. Not you. You're not hot rod enough to do this stuff. You ask it in his name. He does it. Every once in a while, we go through this. Go to Romans chapter 10. You know, sometimes we'll be talking to people that need Jesus, and they need him with all their heart, soul, and mind. They don't know how to get that in there. But Jesus said that a man must be born again. A man must be born again. Well, how do we do that? Do we go splash some water on them? Give them a Bible? What do we do? There's got to be something. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 tells us how this happened. You know, there's people that listen to these. They're in Southeast Asia that are listening to these sermons. Some people got a hold of our website. They're going into Vietnam. They're going into Malaysia. They're going into other parts of the world there. There's people all over the country that are listening to these. And this is the directions on how to get born again. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do we bring those two verses to life? Here's how we do this. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. We bow our heads out of respect to the Father. Bow your heads and close your eyes. We close our eyes out of respect to our neighbors. You know, it could be a personal thing between them. And for the people that are born again, you say this out of your mouth so that you have practice saying it to somebody else. And if somebody wants to be born again, say this out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. This is how you do it. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that God raised you back to life after you died on the cross for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord. This day, I confess you, Lord Jesus, to be the Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. And thank you, Jesus, for saving me. If you said that for the first time, you are born again and you are an heir to salvation. The Bible tells us that you have now become a son of God. And those who are sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. So I invite you to listen to as many of these sermons as you want. Get a Bible. Read the New Testament. Fall in with a Bible-believing church. And keep growing in the faith. And if you have any questions, don't be afraid to ask. There's no stupid questions. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your seed, which is your word that's been put forth, that your word is going to take root in our hearts, and that it will produce for you in your kingdom some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold return on your word. And we praise you. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and snacks, homemade banana pudding back here, and cookies and fellowship. And everybody, welcome. Come on back.